If you just stay standing for just a second, let's pray together. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you that you do indeed make us brave, that you give us courage, O God, for acts of kingdom expansion. God, that you give us courage and bravery, Lord, to face our own struggles, our own challenges. That you give us power, O God, to overcome them and to share that overcoming power with other people. God, that you've anointed us to be agents of grace, transformation, and life change in this world that we are sojourning through. And so, Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you would speak to every one of us today. God, that you would inspire us and stir our hearts up for this new year that's in front of us, God. That it would be awesome and powerful and majestic for every single one of us, God. We believe you for that. God, I believe you for that, for myself and for my friends. And so, Holy Spirit, come, we pray, and start that work even right now. In the matchless, victorious name, Jesus, the strong Son of God, and God's people said, amen and amen, amen. Go ahead and be seated. We want to give a shout out to everybody watching online, everybody down in the chapel. We're glad that you're with us today. So I told everybody kind of for the last couple weeks, I wanted y'all to come today so that we could kind of do a review of the cool stuff that God did in 2014, and then to also cast some vision for 2015. Now, as we talk about 2014, I don't want to just blast over it and say, you know, hey, it was a good year or whatever and blah, blah, blah. I want to get into a bit more detail this morning. Even this morning, friends, as I was here, I was thinking about the story of the 10 lepers. You remember the 10 lepers that came to Jesus and they wanted to be healed, and what happened? Jesus healed them. And what was unique about the rest of that story, right? Only one leper came back to say thank you. The other nine were so thrilled about their healing that they just blasted off into the future, forgetting to come back and say, Jesus, thanks. One of them did. So this morning, I want to kind of put on the robe of that one healed leper and come back to 2014. I want to revisit 2014 and say, Jesus, look what you did. We're not just going to blast into 2015 and forget about 2014. Lord, we want to stop and make pause right now and say, Lord, thank you. Because, Lord, you answered so many prayers, so many heart cries, so many intercessions. God, you did so much in 2014. We're stopping right here like the one leper and saying thank you. Anybody got a grateful heart this morning with me? Big time. Now, something else that's really important. You know, in looking at this, it's always good when we're reflecting to go back to asking the question, what motivates us? Brian, why do we do what we do? What is it that inspires us? Why is this important? Because when we get back to those foundational kind of fundamental things, I find them to be very inspiring as well. They help clear the fog of, you know, sometimes just getting disillusioned in life and ministry, and why do we even do this, and does it even matter? When we go back to the scriptures and look and answer that question, why do we do what we do? It always inspires me and brings clarity. And so, listen, we could fill the rest of the afternoon up with why do we do what we do, but I just want to read you three passages of Scripture today to help us, to refocus us maybe if we've gotten off kilter a little bit. Why do we do what we do in the past? Why do we do what we're going to do in the future? Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. We know this passage of Scripture well. We call it the Great Commission. Jesus came and spoke to his disciples and said to them, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and do what? Make disciples of all the nations. All the nations means every tribe, kindred, nation, and tongue. It means every young person, every old person. It means everybody. So Jesus' call to the church is to go to everybody and make disciples of them, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then he said, teach them to observe or obey all the things that I've commanded you. And he said, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. So what motivates us? What motivates us is the call, the command, and the commission from Jesus. That, like, that enough is should be enough for us, where we just look at that and he said, we say, hey, he said do it, therefore we're getting after it. But that's a motivator, it's a clarifier for us. Another passage of scripture. Why do we do what we do? Matthew 25, 34 through 40. This is that parable where Jesus is painting the picture about when all humanity will individually stand before Jesus to give an account for their life. It's the sheep on the left hand and the goats on the right, the sheep on the right side and the goats on the left side. It's them coming and Jesus defining, this is the kind of life that you live. The goats were unproductive. They didn't bless anybody or help anybody. But here's what he says to the sheep on the right hand. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in? Or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king, Jesus, will answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me. Why do we do what we do? To obey the Great Commission for sure, but also we're realizing this, that every act of compassion, every act of love, every spoken word of truth that we give, it's just not for that individual person. This is greater than that. It's beyond that. This is actually ministering to Jesus himself. And see, friends, as we go into the new year and challenges come our way and we have opportunities for growth and ministry and all that stuff, we must look beyond the immediate need. As deserving as and right as that might be, there's something beyond that. There's something more eternal beyond that. There's something greater beyond that. And that is this. Every time we minister to someone, the last, the least, or the lost, we are doing it unto Jesus himself. And we can never, never, never lose sight of that. We could get frustrated with a certain person or a people group or an age or demographic or whatever it might be. But we've got to get beyond that and say, it's not just about this person as much as it is. It's about doing this to Jesus and for Jesus and in Jesus. Jesus must be our perspective as we go into the new year, ministering, doing what he's called us to do. The third passage of scripture, what motivates us? Why do we do what we do? Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. Jesus said, you're the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Now Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they'll see your good works and they'll glorify your Father in heaven. Why do we do what we do? What motivates us? We want to let our light shine. We've been filled with the light and the love of Jesus. Jesus said, now let it shine. Don't put it under a lampstand. Get out in your community and shine for Jesus. Listen to this. So much so, this is his mandate for the church. He said, I want you corporately and individually to shine so much for my kingdom that the lost world will look at what you're doing and glorify God whom you serve. They'll give God glory. A lost world will give God glory because they see your good works and know that you're doing it in and for and through Jesus, and they'll say, wow, your God must really be something. We're living in a time where the light has to shine more than ever. It's getting darker. Brother Fred, it's getting darker all the time. We can't just sit back and curse the darkness. We got to shine the light, right? So why do we do what we do? We do what we do to shine, that Jesus could get glory. We do what we do because we do it for Jesus. We do what we do to obey the Great Commission, and that's to go into the world and reach people. Now, I'm going to give you an opportunity to read something out loud with some gusto. If you do it right the first time, which would be shocking, if you do it right the first time, we'll do it once. But if it's a little sketchy and you need some practice, we will do this twice. I want you to get this in your hearts. I'm telling you right now, we're going to repeat this at the end of the service as well. But I want you to get this in your hearts for this upcoming new year. All right? I'm not even going to lead you into it. You, one, I guess I'm leading you. One, two, three, go. Yes, that's exactly right. You did it so good, that's all for right now. But we are to be difference-making, world-changing, kingdom-expanding followers of Jesus under the power of the Holy Spirit, not even our own drive or commitment. It's operating under the unction and the energy, the power of God to do things for the kingdom of God. That's why we do what we do. Now, when we're talking about 2014 and all the great things that God has done, we need to start with this one word, volunteers. Would y'all say volunteers?
Volunteers.
Volunteers. Psalm 110 verse 3, I love this. King David wrote this when he was considering God and his people. And he said, your people shall be volunteers in the day of your power. What did David realize? He realized that when God's power is doing something, when God is up to something, somewhere in some community of faith, some group of believers, some church, when God's power is present and stirring and moving, it causes people who are observing it to volunteer, to want to join it because they see something that's real and attractive and alive. Your people should be volunteers in the day of your power. Now, friends, I got to tell you, there's churches all over this country and around this world that are shriveling up and dying as we speak. There's no volunteering. There's no participation because there's no life there. There's no power of God present. We've done everything we can to try to push God out of the church and do it our own way, and it's failing miserably. But where there's a group of people who say, God, we're here for you to get this thing right. We're here to obey the Great Commission. We're here, Jesus, to minister to you. We're here to let our light shine. We're here to serve with our time and our talent and our treasure. It's there that the power of God is going to be to change people's lives. And so everybody else can do what they're doing and dying on the vine and trying to figure out what to do. Here's what it is. It's about the power of God in our midst, and it's about us responding to that power by volunteering and saying, God, you can count on me. I'm your man. I'm your woman. I'm your boy. I'm your girl. Here I am to give of my life for your cause. Friends, every single Sunday, this is going to blow your minds. Every single Sunday at Grace Chapel, it takes 500 volunteers to make happen what happens here. People that you see, people that you don't see, people behind the scenes, people out front. It takes 500 volunteers to make happen what happens here. Listen, this is so far beyond Steve Berger or Jonathan Allen or anybody else. This is us. This is all of us. This is all of us bringing our own gift and ability and time to the table and saying, Jesus, here's my part. I want to volunteer. I'm going to serve. I'm going to give up my life for your cause. Here I am. Volunteers make it happen. They always have and they always will. I'm happy to report that in 2014, Grace Chapel has had another record-breaking year. We have more volunteers actively serving and volunteering than we ever have in our history. Someone needs to stand on your feet and clap and shout for the volunteers this morning. Yes! God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. It's about us doing this thing together, volunteering, making a difference. So thank you, volunteers. You're going to hear me say that probably several other times throughout the service because it really is just a foundational reality here. All right, let me move on to some of these other ministries. 2014, thanking Jesus. With every stat, with every number I give, friends, you got to realize this is just coming back like that one leper to Jesus and saying thank you. This isn't about boasting in us. This is about boasting in Jesus and bringing it before him and saying, God, we love you. We recognize you're the one that did it. You're the one that did it. Iron Men, our men's ministry. We had our first ever men's retreat in April of this year. It was a smashing success. People's lives were changed. It was awesome. It was so good we decided to do another one. Men, this April. This April, men, get ready to sign up to go on the men's retreat. It's going to be awesome. Throughout the year, we had over 800 men participate in six monthly rallies that we held. We have 100 men, listen to this, 100 men who are committed to small groups, discipleship groups, our outdoorsman ministry, and our newly launched veterans ministry. Over 100 men are committed to getting together in small groups to live and learn how to live a transformed life. We're grateful for all of the Iron Men that are participating, getting involved, and going deeper with Jesus. Let me talk to you about the women's ministry. They had their annual spring luncheon. And I like this one. I like even joking around about it a bit. I do it from a good heart, I promise. But it's so girly. And I know that shouldn't, I mean, I'm glad it's not manly, right? Because this is the women's ministry. This is a time where they have their annual luncheon and there's 25 tables. And each table has one volunteer, one woman, who brings her best china, her best silverware, her best tablecloth, her best little doilies, her best little glasses, her best little centerpiece, flower thing. It's just that. Men, are we communicating? It's that. Now, here's what they do at this yearly luncheon. The sole purpose of it is to get a great speaker to come in, provide a great meal at this beautiful setting, and invite ladies who have never yet met Jesus Christ to come so that we can tangibly love on them in this beautiful setting, and they get to know, wow, these people really care. Listen, God can use your china, ladies. God can use your crystal. He can use your stuff to set a banquet in front of someone who doesn't know Jesus to let him know, hey, you're loved. And we care about you here. And Jesus is the answer for your very life. So annual spring luncheon, nearly 200 ladies attended. It was a huge, huge, huge success. The women's ministry also last year had their first ever women's ministry conference, a year of firsts for them as well. Living Words, over 300 women attended this conference. And again, it was set up with buy one really reasonably priced ticket. We'll give you a second one. And that free ticket, we want you to invite someone who doesn't know Jesus and bring him to this event. And Janice, I see you, and Allison, and Faith. And it was just a great women's conference, great women's teaching. And I don't even know how many women, but I was there during the altar call, hands going up all over the place when Allison gave the invitation. Women who for the first time in their life gave their heart to Jesus Christ as a result of their first ever women's ministry conference. The women's Bible study. These studies were attended by over 200 women each semester. That means last year alone, there was almost 500 women. 500 women who came and participated in the women's Bible studies. That's awesome. The women also, three different women's trips down to Josiah's house in the Dominican Republic. What did they do when they went there? They went there. Listen, some of y'all think, well, I can't preach, I can't teach, I can't do this, that. Some of you ladies, you could do this. Some of you men could do this. I would love to do this, actually. Go down to the DR and go grocery shopping, buy a ton of food, cook it all up, put it in bags, and freeze it so that we can feed our orphans down there, so that we can feed people in the community or wherever it is, but just to go cook massive amounts of meals. Why? Because food, fishes, and loaves is the gospel of Jesus Christ. A way to their spirit is through their stomach, no question about it. And so ladies went three different times just to cook meals and freeze them, so that people could be blessed and encouraged. Listen, all that stuff's open to all of us. When you hear us talking about these trips, man, you need to get involved, volunteer, go on one of these things. Watch God use you. All right, let me talk to you now, switching gears, about the kids ministry at Grace Chapel. Under Pastor Bill Cannon, the job that they do is unreal, unbelievable. Listen to these numbers. We're thanking Jesus for this. Sunday morning weekly attendance is between 450 and over 500 kids. Somewhere in that, every single Sunday from birth to fifth grade, 500 children right here on this campus. We have over 900 children who are registered that participate, but every week there's 400 or 500 kids here, plus birth through fifth grade, okay? They manage over 400 volunteers. 400 volunteers minister in rotation to those 900 kids. Let me talk to you about Vacation Bible School last year. Pre-K through fifth grade and our special needs class, which I'll talk to you more about that in a minute. Last year's VBS, record numbers. We had 450 children attend Vacation Bible School last summer. Friends, listen to me. 88 children raised their hand to receive Jesus for the very first time in their entire life. 88 kids. It took over 180 volunteers. It was the most volunteers we'd ever had. 180 plus volunteers to pull off Vacation Bible School last year. Then we followed that up with UnCamp, our fourth and fifth graders. Again, record numbers last year. 120 kids just from those two classes. Get ready. 10 children said yes to Jesus for the very first time in their life, and 10 of those 10 kids were baptized the following week at the 4th of July extravaganza. Grace Chapel kids, birth through pre-K. And so we're talking young kids here. Yes, absolutely, little babies and all that stuff. But I want to talk to you about 2 to 4-year-olds. Now, Stacy Glass does such an unbelievable job leading that group. You know, in a lot of churches, the kind of the 0 to 4-year-olds, it's just kind of sanctified, glorified babysitting, which is great. It allows parents to come in and hear the word and all that stuff. That's fantastic. But not here at Grace Chapel. Stacy Glass, with the 2 to 4-year-olds, is teaching 2 to 4-year-olds all about God, his character, his nature, his kingdom. 2 to 4-year-old, getting those little kids understanding the things of God even at that age. Listen, if we don't speak to them, someone else will. We better get it into them early. And Stacy Glass and her team do an incredible job of doing that. There's pictures, 2-year-olds with paste and puffy cotton balls making clouds because they've learned about the God of creation at that young age. They do an unbelievable job. Grace Chapel kids, kindergarten through third grade, Rachel and her, the unbelievable job that Rachel Bradley and her team do. Every single Sunday today, they had somewhere between 180 and 200 kids just in that small window, just kindergarten through third grade. She oversees 96 volunteers all by herself who are in rotation. Doing what? Ministering to Jesus, dressed up like a kindergartner. Ministering to Jesus, who looks like a rebellious little rascal of a first grader. But looking beyond the kid to the Christ. Are you with me? So hundreds of kids, hundreds of volunteers, making a difference, being light, caring for the person of Jesus, fulfilling the Great Commission, going to all the nations, all the world, all the people, all the ages. It's happening radically in our Grace Chapel kids ministry. Let's talk about the fourth and fifth graders. This is Grace Chapel Kids, fourth and fifth grade, those that are in the kind of uncamp area. They have over 120 kids that God has entrusted to us every single Sunday. So all of those kids throughout the year, hundreds of children discipled in 2014. Many, 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 I don't have an exact number. Many of those children made first-time commitments to the Lord Jesus Christ right in that class. Fourth and fifth grade, your kids saying yes to Jesus as the volunteers love on them and share the truth. The Kids Craze class, fourth and fifth graders on Wednesday nights, teaching them, sharing Bible studies with them, ministering to those kids. It's all because of volunteers. The Kids Crew, it's a children's musical and dramatic arts ministry. Good night, what a job that they do. It is unreal. Candy McIntyre, and I mean, the whole host, the whole team is great. You saw them in the Christmas production. You've seen them singing up here on stage. They sang up here a few weeks ago. Remember, You Make Us Brave. We just sang that song a few minutes ago. And I'm watching these kids sing to Jesus, that Jesus, you make me brave. And just going, man, that's the next generation. That's what this thing is about. Instilling in them, investing in them, serving them so that they go out and be world changers. Amen? We can never lose sight of that. Like, we can never lose sight of that. We have got to reach the next generation. We've got to do it with love and with excellence. And we are. And I am thrilled with the job that the entire kids ministry is doing. Dozens of kids singing in the choir multiple times in the sanctuary. I talked about that. 40 different kids involved in the Christmas production. Now, you might go, well, Steve, I mean, 40, that's kind of a cool number, and that's great. We want to be thankful for everything. No, you don't understand. 40 kids learning their parts. 40 kids rehearsing and practicing and showing up for rehearsals, multiple rehearsals, getting up here in front of everybody, singing their little hearts out with smiles on their face and sometimes even a finger up their nose. But it was awesome. Isn't it beautiful to behold all that? Now, this next one, friends, is just, I mean, it's all so special. I don't want to offend anybody, but this next part, the can-do ministry. It's our special needs ministry. To not just people in Grace Chapel, but beyond. Listen to me, friends. 80 volunteers provided respite for over 20 special needs families during their quarterly Grace Nights. That's what we call these Grace Nights. So Grace Night happens, and we put the word out to special needs people in the community and the church and say this. Hey, we've got 80 volunteers that are here this night. We want you to come and bring your special needs kids here. We're going to feed them and take care of them and watch them and have fun and play games and do all kinds of stuff so that mom and dad, you can go have fun somewhere by yourselves. Because we know raising special needs kids is a challenge. And so we want to quarterly have our Grace Nights and say, give us your kids. Go have fun. There's a couple that celebrated their 10-year anniversary alone and together because they could. Because someone took care of their kids. There's another couple that drives all the way from Murfreesboro when we have these. They've got five kids. Two of their kids are on the autism spectrum, and they have to bring their kids here. It's the only place they can bring them. We take care of their kids so that they, husband and wife, whatever, mom and dad, can go out and have just a few hours of peace, maybe a lovely meal together. And it is the heart of Jesus, y'all. I mean, you talk about the last, the least, and the lost, some of the most hurting, desperate people. Dave and Sandy Krikak for years now have done a great job of educating me. I don't know that I've responded enough, but just understanding. Do you know, friends, in this area, there are Christian families. I would just say that multiple, a lot. I don't know the number, a significant number of Christian families. Mom and dad love Jesus. Brother and sister love Jesus. And they've got one or two or three, whatever, special needs kids. And they can't go to church because they can't find a church who will take care of their special needs kids while they're in the sanctuary. Well, we're trying to do something about that. We're trying to do something about that on a quarterly basis. We're trying to do, and we are doing something about that every single Sunday. There's a whole community of people out there, of our brothers and sisters in Jesus, who don't go to church because they haven't found a church yet that can handle their kids. So we want to step up and do that. You might pray about that in the new year to see how God might move on your heart to participate in can-do ministry. Can-Do Ministry offered buddies, buddies, not chaperones, buddies. Buddies to VBS participants who had special needs. Listen, 6 children attended VBS for the very first time because somebody volunteered to be their buddy during the week and walk them through all the stuff and make sure they got where they were going, make sure they were safe. You might go, well, 6 people, Steve, that's not very much. You ask those 6 little kids who went to VBS for the first time if it was a big deal. And it's from people doing what? Volunteering. Caring about other people, putting other people on their radar and saying, I want to make a difference. On Sunday mornings, we currently partner with 15 individuals in our Sunday programming. 15 kids who have special needs are here every single Sunday. 10 volunteers, volunteer buddies go with these kids every single week, each week. Into, listen, not just their can-do classroom, but we're assimilating some of these kids into traditional Sunday school classrooms. We're getting the special needs kids in with the rest of y'all's kids because someone is volunteering to be a buddy and love on them and walk them in there and just get them in the greater community of people here at Grace Chapel. That's the heartbeat of Jesus right there, y'all. I'm interested to see what God's going to do in the new year. An adult equipping classes takes place twice a month where our adults with intellectual and developmental delays can learn the truth about Jesus. Twice a month, special needs adults can come here and hear the truth about Jesus. I had a couple come up to me after first service right here. And they walked up and they said, hey, this is our first Sunday here. And I went, oh, I'm so sorry. And they go, no, you don't understand. This is exactly what we need. This is exactly what we're looking for. They introduced me to their little son, Jackson, and they said, "And we have another little boy. He's a special needs. What did he do for you, Jonathan?"
He put it on.
Yeah, he put it on you. He hugged you after he hugged me. Little boy came right up, and they said, "This is our other son. I can't remember his name right now, but just came up and just hugged on me, and they said, thank you. We'll see you next week." And then even beyond Grace Chapel, other churches and organizations are being trained by our Grace Chapel staff and team about the importance of disability ministry, special needs ministry, and now we're helping get them equipped so that they can serve families with special needs in their own area. All right, Grace Christian Academy, school here at Grace Chapel, 400 kids Monday through Friday. Think about this. 400 kids Monday through Friday are being discipled and taught the ways of God so that when they graduate, they can be world changers themselves. 400 kids every single day. Next year, we're going to have our first graduating class. We'll have our seniors, our 12th graders next year. Robbie Mason and the entire staff of the school, listen, I bragged on this a few years ago. We got accredited in 3 years. The quickest you can possibly get accredited is 3 years. We got accredited as quickly as is possible because when the accreditation team came here and spent 3 or 4 days, they said, you guys are doing such a phenomenal job. There you go. 400 kids every single day. I don't want you to think of it as just being school. I want you to think of it as it being a missionary sending center where our kids are getting a fantastic education to then go out into the world for the glory of God. Prayer ministry. Let me talk about Pastor Rick and the great job he does there. Our prayer team in the last year grew to 124 people who are in the rotation. So Sunday mornings when you see the altar filled with people, it's because there's 124 people who have volunteered. Get me in the rotation. I want to love on people and encourage people and pray for people with faith and compassion and power. 124 people. Always looking to grow that ministry for sure, but it grew to 124 last year. The prayer chain grew to 150 people last year. That means when you call the church office and say, oh my gosh, this need in my life, or I've been made aware of my, some situation in my friend's life, could you all pray? That means that 150 people get an email immediately who have volunteered to say, burden me with other people's hurts. I want to pray. I want to love. I want to reach out to them. 150 people. We're always looking for that number to grow, but we're sure grateful for the prayer team that prays up here and the prayer team that answers the prayer chain emails that we send out. Team 52, men and women, grew to 57 people this last year. On Sunday mornings, friends, there are men and women praying at opposite sides of this altar, praying, asking God in little groups of 3, 4, 5 people, whatever it is, sometimes more, praying, asking God, move today, touch people's lives today, heal the sick, save the lost, encourage the believer, whatever it is. But they're praying and interceding. 57 people in rotation that are praying for you to have an encounter with God when you step in this room. Pastor Rick also told me that there's been an increase in physical healings, that there are healing nights that they have on Tuesday nights, and we thank God for that. Also in the last year, Pastor Rick launched Celebrate Recovery. Last April it launched, and it successfully runs every single Monday night. Rick and Randy and Amanda, great, great, great people, doing a great job with Celebrate Recovery, helping people get over their hurts, their habits, and their hang-ups, and doing a great Christ-centered job doing that. That's brand new for us this year. All right, our equipping classes, kind of our adult Sunday school classes, if you will, but they don't always happen on Sundays. 280 people participated in steps and next steps classes. 247 people participated in other adult equipping classes. 527 people participated in all equipping classes. And 251 people took the membership class. There are 75 people as I speak and as you listen, hopefully, as you're listening, there's 75 people right now down there in the new membership class as I speak. I'm going to get done here and then go visit with them down there. Another equipping class happening this Saturday. This blew our socks off. Brenda Ray with a great K. Arthur background, inductive Bible study, all that stuff. We've got 100 people signed up for this coming Saturday to learn how to more effectively study their Bible. It's a Saturday class on inductive Bible study. We've got 100 people. Brenda told me this morning, Steve, I can't believe the response that we're getting. See, I think the more that we're just pressing into God and praying for revival and praying for awakening and opening our hearts up and singing, Holy Spirit, come and do your work in me, it's changing things. It's changing the atmosphere. There's people that are volunteering. There's people that are engaging. There's people that are in Bible studies. There's people going on the mission field. The very things that we prayed for in 2014 happened. And like the one leper, we're going back right now and saying, Jesus, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. This is your doing. All right, Room in the Inn, our ministry to homeless people. They served 1,650 meals last year. 1,650 meals to 550 homeless guests. And not just serving them meals, but cultivating relationship with them, discipling those homeless men that are believers and trying to win the lost homeless men to Jesus. It's radical ministry impact. Can I tell you how successful these guys are in not just giving them a great meal that they do, but there are men who have become so successful as a result of the program, who have gotten jobs and gotten apartments and are out successfully living on their own. They come back on Tuesday nights to Grace Chapel to encourage and meet and hang out with the people who are going through the homeless ministry right now. Our sustenance ministry, again, Brother Pat and his crew just do a remarkable job. Sunday and Wednesday night meals last year, we served over 26,000 meals on Sunday morning and Wednesday night. There's restaurants in this town that don't do that much. 26,000 meals last year. Brother Pat told me, he said, you know, Steve, one of the great things is when you have a single mom come up to you and say, hey, you know what? It was hard getting my kid to come to church for a while, but now the kid wakes me up in the morning and says, Mom, let's go to church for waffles. Fishes and loaves, that's all it is. That's what waffle in the Greek, fishes and loaves, that's what that meant. What a great ministry. You look in there, I wish I could hang out more in there, but you see table full of people eating together, breaking bread, maybe watching the sermon on the screen, but building relationship and fellowship together. It's beautiful to watch. The resource center down in the family room last year. From last year's fourth quarter to this year's fourth quarter, there was a 45% increase in 1 year. The entire year had a 25% increase. Now, what do those mean? It means this: the more resources that are getting out there, the more resources that are being sold at a highly discounted rate, the more people that are getting equipped, the more people that are learning and growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus. That little series that we started off 2 years ago, January of 2013, the Mind Wars series, that little series, its study guide and all that, is in its fourth printing. Mercy Ministries has adopted it. It's part of their curriculum for Mercy Ministries all over the country and really internationally. It's amazing to see what God's done with the Resource Center. Pastor Wayne does small group outlines that go with Pastor Jimmy into life groups just to help keep people on track and, you know, help them understand the notes and stuff better. Resource Center, unbelievable. This year, resource-wise as well, we printed Between Heaven and Earth. It's in its second printing right now, which Pastor Wayne tells me is remarkable in today's publishing world. The publisher's very happy with the success of the book. And for one day, get ready to clap and shout really loud. For one day, Between Heaven and Earth was the number two book on all of Amazon for one day. Resource Center. All right, let me talk to you about the media real quick. We launched our new website in 2014. Really, really good. Friends, do you know that there's more people who watch our services online around the world than come here on a Sunday morning? It's huge. And so I want you to get acquainted with the website if you haven't been. You can watch the sermons. There's all kinds of great information, very user-friendly. Get involved with the website. But don't quit coming to church in person. This was another totally random thing that happened this last year. We had four different appearances on Fox News with a worldwide viewership. Twice on Good Friday of last year, on the morning we were on with Fox and Friends, and at night we were on with Megyn Kelly. That was interesting. Sunday morning, we had a satellite truck down by the river. We did a live remote Easter Resurrection Sunday morning that went around the world. Now, let me give you some of this, some behind the scenes. So I'm standing back there, and I just have a camera. There's no TV screen. I can't really see who I'm talking to. I got the thing in my ear. They're doing the countdown. All right, hey, we're getting ready, blah, blah, blah. So they tell me right before we go on, hey, just so you know, by the way, the host that's going to be asking you these questions is Jewish. You can go online and watch it. So she asked me the first question about what is it that y'all are celebrating, or why do y'all have hope today? What are y'all doing in Leaper's Fork, Tennessee? And I thought, man, if there was ever just a soft pitch, I mean, I was frothing at the mouth. Here we go. So worldwide television, Fox News, we get to share the gospel about here's what Sunday morning means. It means the sacrifice of Jesus on Good Friday was acceptable to God the Father, and God the Father proved it by raising his son from the dead on Sunday so that whoever would believe on him would have everlasting life, and you can have hope, and it's a living hope and all this stuff. And so we got done, and she's a precious girl, so our Jewish co-host then, interviewer, says, and we want to wish all of our Jewish friends a happy Passover. But Fox News, it was amazing how that happened as well. Our other time that we were on Operation Protective Edge on our return from Israel last summer when the war was happening, got to do a little bit on Saturday morning there. So really cool, just unexpected fun things that we get to do. Life groups. We had over 1,100 people get connected in life groups last year, and that's where we are right now. 1,100 people. In 2014, we went from 35 life groups to 100 life groups. We nearly tripled our participation in life groups in 1 year alone. Pastor Jimmy Harris has done an unbelievable job training, raising up new leaders, doing a fantastic job. I know we haven't clapped for a while. Can we tell Pastor Jimmy, thank you for doing a great job with the life groups? If you haven't gotten in a life group yet, I want to encourage you, get in a life group. It'll change your life for sure. All right, let me quickly talk to you about finances, and then we're going to get into 2015, and we'll be done about dinner time. Not really. Let me talk to you about finances real quick. This is stuff, most of this is in your, not most of it, but a big part of this is in your bulletin. This is nothing hidden. Total tithes and offerings for last year, $6.7 million came in. It was 11% increase from 2013, and now for the 20th consecutive year in a row, we've had our best year ever as it relates to tithes and offerings. Just so you know, the financial board, who does such a fantastic job of managing all of our resources that you all give so wonderfully, we pay more than twice our monthly payment every month to get our debt knocked out, as well as last year we wrote a single check for $500,000 just to cut our debt down. If everything kind of goes as planned, we will be completely debt-free in 3 years. Completely debt-free. Completely debt-free. So when the average weekly offering is $128,000 and there's no debt except salaries and all that stuff, you could imagine what we could do for the kingdom of God. We look forward to that day for sure. Our debt is extremely manageable and we're very grateful. Here's another number that I'm coming back to Jesus and giving thanks for. 28% of our income goes to salaries and administration fees. Now, what does that mean? It means this. Grace Chapel is about half of what other churches in this community do. There, I can tell you there's churches in this community, I know them, who half of their budget goes to salaries and administration costs. Half. We're half of that half. We're at 28%. We are using y'all's money very, very effectively and efficiently, and that's a number I'm really, really grateful for. All right, some good news. Total dollars that went to missions and outreach in 2014 alone, $1.4 million went to missions and outreach. That means, friends, listen to this, 21% of our gross budget went to missions and outreach. There are churches that would love, they're trying their best, and God bless them for it. They're trying their best to get to 10%. They want to give a tithe of what they have. We do twice that here. By the grace of God, He's blessed us enough to give twice a tithe to missions and outreach all around the world. 21%. It's amazing. Real quickly, this last year we finished up with our $100,000 gift to Sudan. When Canon Andrew White was here, the vicar of Baghdad, I didn't make a big deal or tell anybody about it then, at least from the pulpit on Sunday mornings, but he went back with $50,000 to help our Christian brothers and sisters in Iraq who have been displaced. We sent over $100,000 to Israel and to Gaza last summer. You remember that special offering that we took up? Just blew people's minds that we were willing to do that. And still kind of along the missions lines, men's and women's teams went to the DR, they went to Haiti, they built projects, they witnessed, they won people to Jesus, discipled people, equipped people, doing small group seminars, just pouring their hearts out for the kingdom of God. Grace Christian Kids boxed and shipped 374 Christmas shoe boxes for needy children. In other words, our children are being instilled with the Christian values of loving the last, the least, and the lost. We're doing it into the next generation as well. Josiah's house down in the Dominican Republic, through a generous donation, we're now purchasing the 3-acre compound that we had been renting. With the church building, the classrooms, the two homes, the two apartments, the pavilion, we've got room to expand into the future. And this year, we will be sending our own Darren and Aaron Hudson to be new house parents in the Dominican Republic. The ministry of Josiah's house is happening strong in the DR. All right, so I've just laid so much out on you, and it's a bunch of all that stuff, but here's what I want you to get in your heart. All these numbers and percentages, it's people, and it's Jesus ultimately. So 2014, these are just a few highlights. 2014, Jesus answered our prayers. 2014, Jesus, I'm gonna give you an opportunity. 2014, Jesus heard our cries and said, I'm gonna do something with y'all that's bigger than ever. Now, one final time, could we, like the single leper, come back to Jesus and say thank you right now? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. All right, I'm going to take a quick look at 2015. Now, just in saying this first point, we want to continue and expand the previously mentioned ministries. If that's all we did, trust me, it would be enough. But we are going to continue and expand the previously mentioned things. We're also going to, and this, I'm super, super excited about this. I want you to mark your calendars for February 3rd. It's a Tuesday night. In 2015, every single Tuesday night, I think there might be one that we missed because of Thanksgiving or something, but just for general purposes, every Tuesday night at 6:30, right here in the sanctuary, we're going to start a brand new prayer and intercession meeting corporately. Now listen to me. You heard the numbers for prayer, and we've got people praying and all that stuff. That's all good and fine. But I'm talking about taking something to the next level, not just with its frequency, but with its intensity. This is not going to be some quiet, you know, navel-gazing kind of sedate prayer meeting. I'm talking about storming heaven and asking him to make a difference here on earth. We're going to have a prayer meeting on Tuesday nights. Reggie Stone is going to help it by playing some worship music and all that and just keeping some flow going. We're going to teach you how to pray. We're going to print and give prayer books. If you're someone who struggles, well, I don't know, I can't do it as good as that person, and it's just kind of intimidating. Listen, do you know that your Bible is filled with all kinds of awesome recorded prayers? We're just going to print out sheets with prayers from the scriptures, and together we're going to pray what the scripture says. Listen, this is God's word. This is God's will. How about we start praying God's word and God's will? There's nothing wrong with just reading it as long as it comes from our heart. And so Tuesday night prayer meetings, I am so excited about this. I can't stand it. I am committed to it, to leading it along with Reggie and other pastors and leaders. I'm committed to being here on Tuesday nights to pray and seek God's face. This Tuesday morning, Pastor Rick and Reggie and I are flying to Brooklyn, New York to go to Jim Cymbala's church, the Brooklyn Tabernacle, to participate in their world-famous Tuesday night prayer meeting. And so we're going to get a fresh dose of it ourselves, ask Jim to impart something to us, lay hands on us, whatever, so that we can bring something back here to Grace Chapel and see God do something. Jesus said his house should be called a house of prayer. And so we want to give more place to passionate prayer, believing prayer, crying out for more in 2015. Now, along those same lines, the Sacred Assembly. Sacred Assembly is something that kind of caught us by surprise. It was something that God downloaded in my heart right there one Sunday morning while we were worshiping. And the next thing we knew, a couple months later, we had 4,000 people from over 100 churches at Legislative Plaza in downtown Nashville. We thought, wow, wouldn't it be great if we did this every year? That would be cool. Well, we got done with Nashville, and spontaneously, organically, people started contacting us saying, we want to have a sacred assembly in our county and in our community. And so Waverly, Tennessee, on January 25th, in the pouring sleet, a wintry mix, they had 300 people stand for 3 hours in a wintry mix, crying out to God for the church, this nation, and this world. Waverly, Tennessee. Dixon, Tennessee is next. Dixon, Tennessee, 2 weeks from today, January 25th, Dixon, Tennessee is having a sacred assembly. March 8th, I believe, Manchester, down in Coffee County, their county mayor, other leaders down there, they're crying out for help. We've been meeting with them. We're having sacred assembly down there. Let me tell you what our goal is for the sacred assemblies. And again, we're not creating some big marketing campaign. It's got to be organic. It's got to be real. It's got to be from the heart because of what we're talking about in those things. Here's what our goal is. We're asking God that between now and Election Day, the first week of November 2016, that at least one person from each of the 95 counties in the state of, that's what that is, the state of Tennessee right there, that at least one person from each of the 95 counties in the state of Tennessee will attend a sacred assembly and representing their county saying, God, we confess and repent of our sins, and in humility, we're asking you to forgive us our sins, to heal our land, to restore us, God, to command a blessing on us. We're asking that one person at least from every one of the 95 counties between now and then. So we've got a work cut out for us. There's pastors and leaders in Memphis that are calling. They're wanting to do it. Listen, I think the church is realizing that all of our programs and all of our stuff, what we need is prayer. What we need is Jesus. We can't create this thing. We need God to answer from heaven. And so we're going to pray here. We're going to pray in sacred assemblies and believe God to do something awesome. Next, there's going to be a huge missions increase in 2015. Our Christian brothers and sisters who were displaced in Iraq and faced persecution on a regular basis, I don't have time to go into it all right now, but I can tell you that in 2015, we're going to have the opportunity to do something very, very, very significant for the oldest Christians in the world. They were replaced. You heard Canon Andrew White talk about it. They were replaced from Mosul or Nineveh. They're all down in Kurdistan, Erbil. We're in contact with them. God's up to something. We're going to be able to minister to them in a huge way in this upcoming year. We're also going to help plant a church in Culiacan, Sinaloa, Mexico. I was in Mexico all this last week, dropping my daughter Destiny off with Sarah for a five-month mission trip. Pray for us. And I met with a pastor friend of mine down there. We're going to help plant a church later this year. You'll meet this Mexican pastor and my friend, Mike Vincent, later this year. But church planting, reaching people, caring for the last, the least, and the lost, the hurting, it's going to increase big time in this upcoming year. We're going to increase the number, type, and visibility of community-wide outreaches. We're going to start doing things way more creative to reach people for Jesus, whether it's plays or productions or movies or 4th of July events or whatever it might be. We're going to do more things to reach more people because there is an urgency. There's an urgency. Next, we're going to add this morning 3 brand new elders, and so I want those guys to come up real quickly right now. Now, we're adding 3. I'm going to introduce you to them today. We'll officially install them in the upcoming weeks, but we're adding 3 new elders to help us with all of this work. There will be more. We're going to add more than 3 elders here at Grace Chapel in 2015, but I wanted you just to see their faces. First of all, Scott Farrar right here. Could you make him feel welcome this morning? Rick Woods right here. James Brown right here. So these guys are 3 brand new elders that we're really, really thrilled about. They fulfill the biblical qualifications. And so not just them, but their lovely wives that are down here on the front row as well. The scripture says it's one thing for a guy to be an elder, but his wife has to be qualified as well. And so our current elder board said, without question, we've seen these guys' commitment here at this church for years. They are elder material. They're already doing the ministry of elders. And so now we're just welcoming them in. Could you one more time tell these guys, thank them. Thank them in advance for their service. Thank you, guys. God bless you. All right. Now, also, You should start reading the book of Philippians. The book of Philippians. It might be next Sunday, but it might be a couple weeks after. But either way, you're safe. Start reading the book of Philippians because we're going to do a book study on the book of Philippians. Last year was a very, very tough preaching year. In 25 years, I'd never preached that many just sobering, very strong, potentially controversial sermons. Started with perilous times shall come and went into end time prophecy stuff and then fasting, praying, confessing, repenting, revival, awakening messages. Listen, it's amazing that we've got people here today, isn't it? So now this year, here's where we're going to start off with. We know what's going on. We know what just happened in France and all over the place. It's continuing to happen. But here's what we know. In the midst of it being perilous times, the book of Philippians is going to teach us we're never going to lose our joy or our hope, even understanding what's going on that's so perilous. Amen, somebody? So start reading the book of Philippians, getting yourself familiar with that, and either Sunday or a couple Sundays, we're going to start a book study there. All right. I need a drink of water. Now stand to your feet. We're gonna close this service in a really, really great way. Go ahead, rub your palms off on your thighs. You know what this means if you've been here any amount of time. Get your hands ready, that's right. Span the aisles and grab a hand. Span the aisles and grab a hand. We're going to pray in agreement and just seal our hearts for this vision, for what God's called us to do. We're going to agree together in prayer because we read this earlier. Go ahead, from your hearts. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, with hearts united and hands held, we're just coming before you to start this new year off to say, oh, God, would you use us? Would you use us, God? We're here to volunteer. We're here to say, God, use our lives to expand your kingdom, to change this world, God, to touch people's lives, to be light, God, to make a difference. And so, Father, we trust you with that. We trust you for the resources. We trust you for the strength and the energy. God, one more time, thank you for 2014. But God, we're not resting on what happened yesterday. We're reaching for what you want to do tomorrow. And so, Father, in the name of Jesus, have your way in us and through us. And God, I thank you for these precious people. God, thank you for the body of Jesus that calls itself Grace Chapel. What an honor and a privilege it is to pastor them. I know I speak for the whole staff. God bless every one of you. We love you and we bless you in the name of Jesus. And we believe great things for you and your family this year in Jesus' matchless, powerful name. And God's expectant, happy people said, amen and amen. God bless you all. We will see you soon.